We now have a very special guest I'm very excited about. This is Joshua Harris. He's the author of over 6 books. He sold over 2 million copies across all of his books. And his most famous book, which is one I think everyone has heard of, is I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, my friend? Good to be with you.
It's good to be with you. So tell us the story of writing I Kissed Dating Goodbye. If you can take yourself back to 1997, what happened?
Oh, boy. Well, I was 21 years old at the time, and I was reflecting on my own experience in dating relationships. I was right in the middle of the True Love Waits campaign, where there was a huge emphasis on the importance of saving sex for marriage. And I was interacting with a lot of ideas that were being talked about in the homeschool community. I'd been homeschooled my entire life. I published a magazine for homeschool teens. And there was a lot of discussion about courtship and how to do relationships and romance differently. And basically, I came to kind of a crisis point where I broke up with a girl that I'd been going out with in high school and really had a lot of regret around that and felt like I had wasted her time and I had compromised my own convictions. And so the book really grew out of me asking this question of, you know, if we want a different outcome in relationships, then maybe we should do things completely differently. And I really kind of zeroed in on the idea that dating was really broken and was a bad idea, and we should turn our back on it if we wanted to do things God's way. So that was I wrote articles that got a huge response. I was giving speeches, and the book was basically the summation of my own journey as a single man.
So what happened after the book came out?
Well, surprisingly, it really caught on. I was amazed. I think just about everybody was amazed that it became a bestseller. I think there were a lot of people who were struggling with and frustrated by kind of typical dating, as you put it in your book, which I appreciate, modern dating. There was a sense of, yeah, you know what? The way we do dating is broken, and maybe there is a better way to approach this. And so the readers of my magazine and kids in the homeschool community, they latched onto the book and started telling other people. And, you know, it was kind of a catchy title, a radical idea, which always gets press in today's world, or at least 20 years ago. It became a kind of a force in the evangelical community. People were giving it to their pastors. Pastors were, you know, telling their youth that they should read it. Parents were having their teens read it. And it really became a huge part, I think, of the discussion among Christian singles about whether or not dating was a good idea.
Yeah, I was there. It wasn't just a bestseller. It was a cultural phenomenon. It was, at least in my homeschool community I grew up, it was all anyone would talk about for about 6 months. And we had the two factions, which were not the pro and against. They were the people who'd read it and the people who hadn't. And it was all about, you know, trying to get the folks who hadn't to read the book. So how has the reaction to the book changed over time?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I think initially there was the response of people who kind of already had a lot of these ideas, or it put into words things that they had been thinking. And then as it grew and it increased, and, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are reading this book, it really grew beyond my ability to, I guess, even process all that was taking place. I think more and more people further out from the kind of tight-knit, if you want to, you know, say, bubble of the homeschool community were engaging these ideas. And in some cases, they were starting to kind of critique and point out weaknesses in the concept. But at that point, it was so massive that it was almost impossible for me to process all of the different feedback. And one of the things I look back on as a mistake personally is it's just so easy when there are so many people that are, you know, encouraging about something to then just write people who are critical off as haters. You know, it's like, well, you just, you know, you're just not serious about serving the Lord. So you're just, you must be a hater, you know? And I think that there was a long period where two things happened for me. One, it was just the volume of it was just so overwhelming. And then the second thing is I kind of wanted to move on. I wrote a follow-up book, didn't even want to write a follow-up book, but people around me said, you know, you really need to answer some of the questions people are having. You've gotten married, so you should, you know, you should write about your experience, which I did. And I began to kind of resent everybody viewing me as the guy who wrote I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and I just kind of wanted to move on. I wanted to talk about other things. I didn't want to just talk about dating. I was married now, and so in many ways, I was pulled out of the Christian dating scene fairly quickly that my book was continuing to shape. And so I didn't see different ways that it was negatively shaping that. I didn't see kind of the realities for Christian singles as people were becoming in some context very uptight about, you know, any kind of one-on-one dating and really viewing that as negative, even to the extent of viewing it as sinful, all those types of things. So part of what's taken place for me 20 years on is that the kind of longer term results of the ideas in the book are more readily apparent. And it's not just people who, you know, hated my book because some girl broke up with him, so your book stinks kind of a thing. But it's actually people who are saying, I loved your book, I bought into your book, and now here are some of the negative results from your book. And so I think that's the thing that's really caught my attention in the past several years. And I think also, too, I've kind of experienced my own, you know, disillusionment and kind of pain in life so that I was willing to kind of listen and question some of my own ideas, which before I wasn't willing to do. I just, you know, it was kind of like, that doesn't sound fun. I don't want to talk to people who think I'm an idiot.
it's very painful, I can tell you. Can you stay with us through the break? Can you stick around?
Absolutely.
All right. So if you have a question for Joshua Harris, feel free to give us a call, 512-452-1120. You're listening to Thomas Umstadt Jr. on today's Christian Talk on 1120 The Bridge. We'll be back with just Joshua Harris in just a moment. You're listening to today's Christian Talk on 1120 The Bridge. I am Thomas Umstadt Jr. and I'm talking with Joshua Harris, the author of the book I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And Joshua was sharing a little bit in the last segment about his story, about writing his book. And Joshua, you were not the only voice in the purity movement. It seems like anytime someone writes a book or a blog post, you're the only name that's mentioned, as if you like single-handedly invented courtship all by yourself. What are your thoughts on what other people did, some of the other thought leaders, on the question of courtship and dating and all of these relational issues?
Yeah, well, I look back on that time and I was definitely influenced by the conversations that were taking place in the homeschool community. And the funny thing is, in many ways, my book was sort of a more progressive book about the concepts of courtship than others. So, you know, that just shows you how conservative the world was that I was coming from.
I reread I Kissed Dating Goodbye while I was researching Courtship in Crisis, and I was like, this book isn't nearly as extreme as I thought it was. And we kind of have taken our memory of that book, and it's been kind of distorted over time with all of the sermons and teaching from all of the other voices. And like, each community had their own community voices. Some churches had their own church voices, and there was a handful of national voices like Eric Luthe or Bill Gothard or Doug Phillips.
Sure. Yeah, it's fascinating how different ideas pick up momentum, and then how they're expressed is so individual to a particular person or a particular family or a particular church. And so the culture of that church, the culture of even a subset of a church, can have a really powerful shaping influence on an individual. And I think part of the reason that my book, gets the kind of attention and critique that it does, I mean, it's understandable. I don't think it's completely unfair. It's just it it stands out. It was sort of the, I don't know, the spark point for a lot of, or the introduction for a lot of people to these ideas. You know, it's interesting. I remember reading the book by Malcolm Gladwell called The Tipping Point, and it's basically about why certain ideas catch on and how they spread. And when I read that, I realized that my book really functioned in that way. It took these ideas in the subculture of the homeschool community, and it really tipped them into the broader Christian community. And so I think that's why people think about Ica State and Gabay when they think about this era and these kind of the purity movement and evangelicalism.
That's right. And for a lot of people, it was their first exposure. In fact, a lot of people don't realize the book came from that community. And when I was writing Courtship in Crisis, one of the people were like, why are you talking about homeschoolers so much? I was like, well, that's where it started. It was the epicenter. If you would like to call in and ask Joshua Harris a call, give us a call, 512-452-1120. We have Rebecca Lemke on the line who has a question for Josh. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. I just wanted to ask Josh, because I actually read his book for the first time a couple months ago, and I've seen a bunch of hate in the alumni communities of homeschooling and conservative Christianity. Do you, Josh, ever have days where you're heavily impacted by people trying to dehumanize you and sort of make you the villain of, you know, this era of homeschooling?
Mm. Thanks for the call, Rebecca. You know, I definitely have, there are definitely times when I can be really overwhelmed by the feedback and the pain that people have experienced. And, you know, I understand how people can process that, because I know I've done that with people who are leaders or voices. It's easy to just be aware of the pain that you've experienced and kind of forget that they're just fallible, you know, human beings and so on. So I try to just balance that out by recognizing, you know what, they're walking through their own journey. They have their own struggles that they're facing, and I kind of symbolize for them a lot of that pain. And so I think that helps me to kind of put things a little bit in perspective. But, you know, I think the thing that at times people forget, or people who are not a part of a religious community don't realize, is that books and leaders can have a really powerful impact on other people. And I've had people say things like, well, you shouldn't, you know, be sorry for anything that you've done, or, you know, it's not your fault that people implemented your book in certain ways. Everyone has to take responsibility, so that's not your problem. And I really do believe in personal responsibility. And I think part of anyone moving on in any area of their life is stepping away from blaming other people. But the reason that I'm engaging in a process of trying to listen to people and go back and evaluate the things I've written is because I recognize in my own life ways in which books and ideas from Christian leaders, they had so much power and authority in my own life. And it's not just as simple as saying, well, you know, you just have to make your own decisions. When a leader hands you a book and says, you should do this, or you should adopt this idea, it feels like God is telling you that. You know, it feels like you're rejecting God if you don't agree with the way things are done in your church. And it's really hard, especially if you are a younger Christian, to be able to kind of sift through those things and say, well, you know what? Some of these ideas are straight from God's word, but others are actually just kind of things that were added that seemed wise to some guy or to some woman or whatever it might be. And it's really hard to sift through and to distill things and to accept some and reject other parts of it. And so that's why, I mean, I don't like being hated by people, but I understand why they can feel like my book damaged them, because I understand how much force, you know, these ideas can have in religious communities.
So Joshua, what are your thoughts on the plummeting marriage rates among millennials?
Well, I don't pretend to be an expert in understanding all the changes that are taking place, and the sociology behind that. So I think that in many ways it makes sense because of millennials seeing so many broken marriages. I think that it makes sense in light of the huge impact that pornography is having. There's not a lot of motivation for people apart from faith, I would say, to pursue the risk and the kind of responsibility and commitment of marriage. So I think it's a sad thing, and I think we suffer as a society when marriage isn't esteemed and held up. But I also can understand why the different factors are causing that to happen.
Yeah, so we have a question from Facebook. What does Josh have to say to fathers who militantly defend courtship over dating and having a young man date the father first to get his approval?
You know, it's interesting. I definitely talked in my books about the importance of community and wanting to have the involvement of the people that know you and love you the best. But I don't think that was a huge emphasis in my books. And in fact, I was trying to, in some cases, kind of balance out some of those ideas that put so much authority in the hands of fathers. And to be honest with you, I really disagree with that. And I have two daughters. You know, I mean, I'd love to, like, make myself the exception at times and say, well, okay, this isn't good for everybody else. But in the case of my daughters, let's go ahead and do this. But, you know, I actually I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it helps daughters to just grow as disciples of Christ in making their own decisions and growing in wisdom. I think it really ignores the reality of what I think Scripture teaches, that we're all sinners. Fathers are sinners too. And I don't think there's enough discussion of the fact that that kind of authority is often abused. Fathers can be controlling. Fathers can have limited perspective of what their daughter needs. So I actually think that approach is in many cases demeaning to women, and it's not biblical. I understand, you know, children who are true children under the authority of their parents do need to honor and obey their parents. But once a person is an adult, I don't believe, whether they're male or female, I don't think they have to take every whim or wish of their parents as if it were Scripture or God.
Excellent. I agree. I think that God doesn't have grandchildren. We all have to report to him directly.
That's
we
exactly
have
right.
Another caller on the call. Abigail, welcome to today's Christian Talk on 1120 The Bridge with Joshua Harris.
Thank you. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how are you?
Good. So I was curious, just because you talked a little bit about how you'd started looking at in more recent years, some of the negative feedback and just stories of people who, you know, had maybe had some negative experiences implementing the ideas in your book. What are some of the common themes that you're seeing, like themes that you're seeing from their stories?
Yeah. First of all, on my website, I mean, it sounds so cheesy mentioning my website, but on my website, joshharris.com, I've just opened up the opportunity for people to write and share their stories, and that's just completely unfiltered. We just post the stories that people are sending in, and so anyone can go and read those. And there are some that are positive, and there are, I think, many, I would say more, that are negative. Some of the themes that I see emerging from that would be, for example, people saying that they were so concerned about guarding their heart, they were so concerned about not hurting another person, that they really just shut themselves off from opening themselves up to another person. And so they went into a protectionary mode, and that kept them from the learning process of developing relationships and even the learning process of making mistakes and being, you know, heartbroken at times and so on. And another theme that I would see is people who you know, bought into the idea that, you know, they didn't want to be in all these short-term, you know, relationships that weren't about commitment. And so then when they stepped into a relationship, there was so much pressure that was placed on it that it was unhealthy. In other words, there was so much pressure to say, okay, this is a purposeful relationship and we need to consider marriage. And that kind of pressure actually caused a new set of problems. And actually, Thomas's book, Courtship in Crisis, so insightful in regards to this. And when I read this in the last year or so, I really felt like he had so much insight into some of the problems in my books and in the courtship movement. And that was one that he pointed out, that the high emphasis on commitment kept people from just a natural process of getting to know other people, a natural process of, you know, dating in a healthy way, different people, so that they could really learn what they were looking for and who they were compatible with.
Well, I'd like to say thank you. I did not ask him to say anything nice about my book.
Well, I'm a fan, so I
it's a good
I appreciate
book.
You writing it.
Thank you. So I should ask, and you've been kind of getting around this, what are you teaching your children about relationships now?
Oh, dear. You know, it's interesting. I'm actually really trying to leave my kids out of the public conversations that I'm having about this. I will just say that they're all – I've got three kids. They're all different. They all have different personalities, and I think they need to hear different things. And different things emphasized. And so I am trying to have very honest conversations with them. They don't always agree with my perspective. I don't always agree with some of the decisions that they make, but I'm really grateful that we have really open communication. And they're seeing the books I'm reading, and I'm passing on books on relationships and dating and encouraging them to read books that in many cases are disagreeing with my books. So I hope that that's a healthy environment for them to grow in.
You've given them both sides of the story, so to speak.
Exactly. Although they're really, I mean, I've not asked them to read my books. And I think if you just try to picture that, reading a book by your father about dating.
Awkward. Oh, gross, Dad.
Super gross. Super gross. So.
That's awesome. So we're running out of time. I have a couple more quick questions, and I'd love to have you back if that's possible.
Sure.
But your book first came out in 1997, otherwise known as The Dark Days of Dial-Up. So what are your thoughts on online dating as you kind of seen that evolve over the last couple decades?
Yeah, you know, I've got so many friends that have, you know, gotten into really healthy relationships and even, you know, they're married with kids now, and they met through online dating. I know people who have really difficult and negative experiences, so I think it's just another environment in which you can get to know people, and you have to kind of be honest about the strengths and the weaknesses of that. But it definitely is the world that we live in, and I don't think people should be ashamed of getting to know people online initially. But I think they also need to be aware that there can be pitfalls and, you know, false impressions that are given. And I think also just kind of getting stuck in this sense of there being limitless options and never really maybe pressing into more kind of focused relationships. So I think the environment of Tinder and other apps and so on can be negative in different ways.
All right, final question, and then we'll let you go. We appreciate you staying with us so long. And I want to hear about your new project. So not everyone knows, but you have a new project. It's going to be on Kickstarter soon. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I've just been trying to figure out a way to share this process of reevaluating I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And I felt like it was important for me to do that publicly, you know, not just to kind of privately come to a place of saying, I don't know if I agree with everything in my book, but I'll just kind of leave that alone because it's awkward to talk about it. And so I felt like I needed to do that publicly. And I have decided with a fellow student at Regent College up here in Vancouver, BC, to do that in the form of a documentary. The reason we're doing it on Kickstarter and we're asking people to help us to fund making this film is we want to be able to give it away. I'm not going to make a penny off of this film, but we hope that it will be something that will help people who live through that kind of era of Christian dating. I hope that it will spark conversations in families and in churches about the way that we approach romance and relationships. And I hope that it will be healing in some cases for people who look back and feel like there have been really negative consequences to that. So, yeah, we're launching the Kickstarter on July 8th. The title of the documentary is I Survived, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. So
I love it.
We'd love for people just to be aware of it and, you know, to follow along the journey. What I'm excited about with the documentary is that it's enabling me to have conversations with other people like you. I mean, I'm really hoping to get down to Texas, Thomas, and be able to interview you and kind of share some of the insights that you've shared in your book. But I want it to be a really highlighting different voices that are talking about these issues.
Well, thank you. I'd love to be a part of that. And can people find out more at joshuaharris.com? Will you be posting it to your site?
Yeah, joshuaharris.com is a way to learn about it. And there's also a Facebook page for I Survived, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. So you can search that on Facebook and follow along there as well.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. You've been listening to Thomas Umstead Jr. talking with Joshua Harris about his book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, on today's Christian Talk, 1120 The Bridge. Stay with us.